I also heard in the motivation for this motion that the ballots were transferred to the organization that counted the votes. Is that correct? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Is that correct, Madam Chair?
Yes.
That's not specifically correct. The Fair Vote, I instructed Fair Vote to retally the ballots, removing Campbell Johnson's name from that vote. I instructed Fair Vote to send a representative to the LSB meeting. They recounted the ballots, but they did not eliminate Campbell Johnson's name from the recount and did not follow my instructions. They recounted it. The result was the same as the original count. They took the ballots. They sealed them, or at least this is according to Zarina Shakir.
They did.
They resealed the ballots, put them in an envelope. They recounted, put the ballots in an envelope, sealed the envelope, and handed them back to Zarina and certified the election, because that was what they were hired to do by WPFW. So basically, I instructed Fair Vote to do one thing, because the ballots are the property of the Pacifica National Board. They did not comply with my instructions, but instead followed the instructions of the WPFW local station board. Is that clear?
Yes, that's clear. Did you ask them again, or did you instruct them again to do it the way that you had asked?
They did not wish to.
Okay. And then my final point is I concur with Luzette's point. You know, if we allow the LSB to conduct LSBs to conduct elections any way they see fit, you know, we might as well say, you know, do whatever you want. We don't care, and I don't think that's an appropriate way to do things. Thanks.
Thank you, Rico.
I call the question.
Okay. Anyone second calling the question?
I second.
We'd like to. There's people
okay.
on the stack.
All right. It's not debatable. We'll do this by a hand vote. All in favor of closing debate, please raise your hands. I believe this takes a two-thirds vote.
Madam Chair, my understanding is that when you call the question there, it's not debatable.
It's not debatable. I'm not asking
That's
for debate.
We're voting.
Oh. We're voting.
Okay.
Okay.
What are we voting then?
To close
call
debate.
The question.
Right.
7 yes.
Okay. All right. All opposed?
Keep your hand up a minute, please. You up or down? Seven to nine.
Okay. Any abstentions?
It
One
failed.
Abstention. All right. The motion fails. We'll
on
continue
stack,
debate.
Madam Chair?
Sean is on the stack next.
On the stack. Next.
Madam Chair, as I've reminded this body before, they must remember the first law of laws. Common words have common meaning. 365 days means a year. I'm sorry to say Mr. Campbell didn't fulfill that requirement. His is a substantial breach. It's not like he didn't make it by a week. There might be some validity to the argument that the other side is making about this if it was not a substantial breach. And running out the clock does not change the rules. And that is what we have here. People are running out the clock. And I agree with Lizette and Jamie. This sets a very bad precedent. And it will haunt this board for years to come. Finally, I want to remind, I heard when this was motivated, that somehow this board was shortchanging the membership of WPFW. I contend it is the delegate assembly of WPFW that is shortchanging their membership. They could have very easily retallied those votes and pick somebody who actually fulfilled the requirements. Earlier, there was a discussion on bylaws, and they used the bylaws. Now, willy-nilly, we don't want to follow the bylaws. We have to be consistent. or it will haunt this body for years to come. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Wendy.
As we all know, we have STV elections here in Pacifica, and when this happened and we allowed an ineligible person to be part of the candidate pool, this election was screwed up, and this PNB ordered the votes to just that name to be removed and the votes to be retallied. That would preserve the integrity of the STV election. To say now that this member has by now served 365 days and hold a new election, I guess, for that one position, that's not STV. That's a majority vote on one position. If you want to do another election, you have to start now and do all four people again and have the votes redistribute the way they do when with the STV. I want to remind this assembly of what happened with KPFT election last January of 2008 when we had an election of delegates for the staff position, and the KPFT did it wrong when we had a tie vote between the two candidates. We instead of flipping a coin, we went and looked at the second choice votes and sent that member to the PNB. There was an objection. This body, the same people that are voting to say that this board can't tell the PFW delegates what to do, they sure as hell told KPFT what to do, and they made us redo. They made us bring two candidates to New York, and we had a coin toss right there on the spot. The PNB ordered KPFT to toss a coin. We also ordered PFW to retally these votes. I think if you guys want to have a new election, then you got to put all four of your candidates and everybody hold it open and have a whole new election. You can't just have an election now for one position.
Okay. Leslie is next on the stack.
Yeah, I'm sure the listeners out here are falling asleep. Let me try real quickly to break down the two sides as I see them. What we have here is the PNB versus the delegates of the local station board. That's the breakdown. The PNB is asserting its authority, frankly, in my mind at this point, to punish the LSB for not conducting an election the way the PNB said. On the other hand, the delegates at WPFW have done us the kindness of revoting this and giving us a chance to walk away from this mess without egg on too many people's faces. I want to thank WPFW, no matter how this vote goes, for making that possible for us. And I say to my fellows here on the PNB, we have an opportunity here to work with the delegates instead of opposing them. All we have to do is bend a little bit. This doesn't set a precedent. They have elected somebody who has served for a year at this point. It does not answer the question of whether a term is a year or not a year. It simply allows us to seat somebody, get beyond this mess, and not be in a position where the PNB is in an adversarial relationship to the delegates, not just the members, but the delegates who elect members to this body. It is a graceful and elegant way out of our situation, and if we can just be as graceful and elegant back, we can walk away from this and all shake hands and all be friends again. And I think that's what Pacific is supposed to be about.
Okay. AC?
Yes, I want to correct one thing that Director Lucetta said. She said there was not an election. There was two distinct elections. And the LSB voted both times to send Campbell back here. And the question was that, Madam Chair, as you mentioned about the fair vote. Fair vote decided it would be beyond their powers to do anything other than to count the ballots. That's all they could do. They could not get involved in the personal exclusion of one member or another, which would be against their charter. So that's what they referred, that's what they told us. So what we're asking is, and I guess that question has now emerged, and that is that Campbell Johnson is still on the LSB. He's been there now over a year. So what the motion seems to me to be saying is that have that rescinded so that he can come on the board. And I want to repeat once again, he was not elected by the PNB, nor was he expelled by the PNB.
Point of information.
So I just want to say that this continuation, and I need to be frank with all of you. I think I've been on the board long enough to do this. This, Lucette has a personal vendetta against this
AC,
thing.
AC, you're out of order. Please don't.
Chan.
Please don't talk about the character of
a... I would want to respond
that was
to
out
that.
Out of order, but I do want to say that this notion of expelling someone or getting rid of Campbell has always been an issue pushed by her, and that's why I said that. And I apologize if I overstepped the boundary. I respect the chair's position on that.
Okay.
I just want to say that that I don't think we should play with this anymore than where we are right
Point
now.
Of okay. personal privilege.
Yes, Lucette.
What was the term used again, Madam Chair? That was a personal vendetta? I have been the minority voice on that board for a long time. There is very little regard for our rules. We have been bringing to this board for the last 6 years impropriety from that board, that LSB, with respect to this. And AC Bird, if you really want a showdown, you would stop.
Point of order.
Mischaracterizing.
Madam Chair. Okay.
You would stop mischaracterizing my name.
Okay, very good.
You would stop mischaracterizing my name.
Okay, okay.
A point of information.
Can
the director tell us to what extent the persons who met the criteria at the time of the election, how many were they, and to what extent the decision to seat somebody who did not meet the criteria, to what extent they were affected? How many were they that met the criteria, and whether they were affected?
Okay, that's a fair question. Jim, can you answer that? How many other candidates were there in that election?
If I can, and this is only from memory because I don't have the data in front of me, but from memory there were There was two other candidates in the election.
Okay.
And if I remembered from the report that Fair Vote gave us, was that AC was the highest number of vote
That's not necessary.
And oh, okay, but there was two other people who got like one or two votes. That's all.
No, I'm sorry. That's not an answer to the question.
Okay, answer the question.
There were two candidates who did not win. In
yes,
other words,
yes.
Okay, very good. That answers the question.
Point of information. So, are we saying that two candidates who were qualified or their rights are now being violated?
That's up to the board. I'm going to move on to the stack. The next person on the stack is Carolyn.
Point of information.
Yes.
How much time is left in this item?
I don't believe there's any time left in this item. There's 30 seconds left. Okay.
Object.
A motion to extend takes a 2/3 vote. Why don't we do it by a show of hands? All in favor of extending this agenda item for 10 minutes, please raise your hand.
Don't have 2/3.
Okay. All opposed?
All opposed.
Motion fails.
Okay, the motion fails. We're going to go to a vote on the motion to rescind.
Excuse me, I had 30 seconds, I thought.
No, it's over now.
Explain the vote, Madam Chair.
Okay, can we read the motion to rescind? Yes.
Motion by Gentleman to rescind the PNB January 30th, 2009 resolution, which created a vacancy for WPFW representation on the PNB.
Okay. Take a roll call vote, Richard, on this.
Jerry Gintelman.
Yes.
Bonnie Simmons.
Yes.
Andrea Turner. Joe Wanzala.
No.
Sean O'Brien.
No.
Leslie Radford.
Yes.
Rico Ross.
No.
George Ryder.
No.
Sandra Rawline.
No.
Wendy Shrell.
No.
Susan Young.
Yes.
Nia Bediako.
Yes, for democracy.
Carolyn Burden.
No.
Kathy Davis.
No.
Jamie Ross.
No.
Jim Brown.
Yes.
A.C. Byrd.
Yes.
Lizette King.
No.
David Beaton. Afia Wangaza.
No.
Seven, 4. 11 against.
Okay, the motion to rescind fails. We're going to move on to the next agenda item, which is, I believe...
Point of information, Grace?
Yes.
Does, so I guess PFW is not... they don't want to do STV calculations on their own. Do we need to help them, sending someone else to retally the votes?
If the votes are available, we can do the retally today if needed. It's a simple retally. Jim, do you are you in possession of the votes? Do you have them here?
No, I do not have them here.
Okay. Does Serena, does Serena Shakir have them?
I don't know. She's not here right now.
Okay.
But
you
she will be back here this afternoon. Now, the whole matter here... probably need. I like to propose that we have that we put on a new motion regarding this.
Okay, that would
that's dilatory. We just voted.
Is that possible?
If you wish to put it in new business, it might be possible. It would take a two-thirds vote to add an agenda item to this agenda. It would be placed in new business, but right now we've decided this question. So we need to move on with the rest of the agenda. Think about it, and you might want to add it later. The next thing on the agenda, I believe, is election policies. let's see.
Grace, we voted to move up the governance, the one piece of the governance committee, and the piece from Leslie Radford prior to discussing.
Okay, so
I understand. I believe my motion would actually follow a discussion of the election policy, since it's contingent on what's passed with the election policy.
Okay, so you'd like to place that afterwards then?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So we'll just do my governance committee one then before.
Okay. Do you want to read the governance committee motion?
Let me motivate it a little bit before I actually read the substance of the motion. The concern was that the staff lists were being padded, not to put too fine a title, a name to it, by groups of collectives who were running programs, which we have many of in the network, there were many people there who weren't actually fulfilling the bylaws requirement of having 30 hours in the previous 3 months. Now, there are actually, for two of the stations, there are separate requirements, but there are within the bylaws, in any case, requirements for periods in which you are actually doing work for the network before you can be a volunteer staff member and be entitled to a vote. So the thought was that, the issue that came before the governance committee was that, and which is reflected in the elections policy, which we're going to vote on immediately thereafter, is that that was happening. It wasn't clear that was happening. There was contention about whether that was happening. And so this motion basically
says, we'd like to find out whether that is happening, whether this is a serious issue, whether staff lists are in fact being padded by that mechanism. And so I'll read it to you. Motion is that the PNB collect information from stations to determine if there is a systemic abuse of the bylaws requirement of 30 hours of service. In particular, that information be obtained on each program collective identified and named at each station, how many members are on each collective, what percentage of airtime do these collectives represent, and what percentage of the staff electorate do these collectives represent. Furthermore, if any of these collectives have a sudden spike in membership prior to elections, and if the collectives represent a disproportionate share of the staff electorate. So after the phrase obtained on, all of those items would be things that we'd be asking. The mechanism isn't specified, but presumably the IED would ask the general managers to find out the answers to those questions. So that's the motion in front of you. And let me motivate it a little bit also in terms of what the election policy says. Under 2A of the proposed local station board election policy, it says, to ensure that unpaid staff representation is not given too little or too much weight in a local station board election, each 1 hour per week block of programming produced by a group of people or a collective shall be allowed a maximum of 4 ballots. That would be independent of how many people were on the collective. So it would certainly handle the problem of padding the staff lists, but in my view, it's too draconian. So I would prefer to see us essentially postpone that until after we had some information as to whether this is actually a problem. And so I would recommend that we actually vote for this motion coming out of the governance committee.
Okay. Why don't we have some brief discussion about this motion? Sean?
I'm a staff representative, and I'm a staff representative for the whole network, and I feel I have a duty to make sure that the voting pool in staff elections isn't polluted with a whole bunch of shadow voters that nobody can account for, that nobody can prove one way or the other, follow the bylaws and work the 30 hours. And all we're asking here, folks, is to do a fact-finding mission to find out if this is true or this is another urban myth within Pacifica. The other night, on a governance call, while we were waiting to achieve quorum, one of the committee members from KPFA told us that the collectives produce 2.5 hours of programming a week, but account for 50% of the staff electorate. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I think it's important and incumbent upon us to find out if it's true. Because remember, if the voting pool is being flooded in staff elections, the staff is being shortchanged, and we have no right whatsoever. So before we figure out what we need to do about this, or if we need to do anything about this, let us go forth and ask, how many collectives are there? How many members are there? What percentage of the electorate do they make up? Is there a spike in membership before every election? When we answer those questions, then we can sit down in an informed fashion and figure out what we have to do. Thank you.
Okay, Jamie is next.
Basically, I had a question. This motion says the PNB will collect information. You know, the PNB has a lot on its plate. Is the governance committee going to take on this task?
As I suggested when I presented it, it seems to me the only sensible way to do this is to have the IED asked the GMs to collect the information. It has to be done station by station, and it has to be done by somebody with some authority. I can't see how we can do it.
Will you review the data after it's been collected? Will the governance committee review the data?
Yes, that would be the sense of it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I would just like to – well, that's my only comment. Thanks.
Thank you, Jamie. Kathy's next.
I personally don't think that this is as big a problem as we might think with large collectives. I know at WBAI we have large collectives, but, you know, there's also a standard in terms of numbers of hours that a person works in order to be considered. And I think that more important is to find a way of documenting that standard, because I have found that the problem is not collectives, but that shadow producers show up as producers because someone vouches for them and they're not actually producing work. So I think there just needs to be a standard of documentation for producers, whether the collective is 10, if we have people collecting sound and other people editing sound. You know, there's a lot of production that can go into a show. It just needs to be documented that the work is being done rather than an arbitrary number of people being allowed through a collective, because to me that disenfranchises people who may very well be doing the work.
Thank you, Kathy. Leslie?
Yeah, I'd like to sort of associate myself with the remarks of George and Sean here. I don't object to gathering information. My concern is that if we find, say, at one station there's a pattern of abuse and at the rest of our stations everything is fine, are we then going to pass a policy that restricts the voting rights across the board? And I'm afraid, and I may end up voting for this, but I don't want to deprive people of votes because there is something happening somewhere and everybody ends up getting punished for it. This body seems to be in punishment mode, and I really am fighting that tooth and nail.
Okay, Carolyn is next.
I think I concur with Kathy's point that there would be no need for this motion if the managers had done what they were told to do last year, the year before, and the year before that, and that is to collect data on all staff members, what they do, who they do it for, how many hours they spend doing it, and then have it signed off on. We have motions out asking for this data, so this is another attempt to get information that the general managers have failed to give us so far. I have to say that. On the other hand, the question really is, what do people do? I object to collectives being created at the last minute, and I'd like some definition of what is appropriate work. I want to remind listeners also, as well as ourselves, that who votes on the staff elections is disproportionately important, because those elections have such a tiny number of people. So every single vote is worth approximately 100 of what a listener vote is worth in terms of power to elect someone to the board. So it's a really crucial issue. Thank you.
Okay, Bonnie?
I've spent years thinking about this particular issue. I am an unpaid staff person at KPFA. I think there is at least, it merits consideration when we get to it, to look at the argument that Leslie and Dave Adelson have made about the potential that if we were to pass something like this with 4 per collective or whatever we might come up with, that we might be changing the rules and voters' rights for a particular class of voters. And I think we're going to have to really look at that. I want to point out that we are dealing with a very complex system here. We have 3 stations which use the default definition of unpaid staff in the bylaws, which is 30 hours in 3 months supervised by management. You have 1 station that uses, I think, 40 hours in 4 months. Is that correct for WBAI? And I don't actually know the wording of it. And KPFA is 30 hours in a year based upon UPSO bylaws, but the definition of what is staff is completely different. It's anyone who worked 30 hours in 12 months, not management, not in a collective bargaining unit, and not collecting benefits, I believe is the definition. And it places in effect, that the peer group of staff is actually determining who is staff, and I don't believe that that is a workable system. I believe that you have to have some sort of regulations. So on whole, I think that I would vote for this motion because I think that we need to try to sift through the different parameters that each station has, and I think that it would be good for us to gather some facts in that this issue is just so complicated and amorphous, and the undercurrent and arguments have been going on for as long as the governance system with LSBs and the PNB has existed. So I will vote in favor of it. I do think that it needs to be, and I can't remember who brought it up first, but it probably should say that the IED ask the station management to collect this information. I don't think the PNB can actually do it.
Okay, thank you, Bonnie. Susan?
Call the question.
All right, is there a second for calling the question?
Second.
Is that,
all right.
That's an amendment, Madam Chair, I'm sorry. To add that the IED ask the general managers to collect the information.
Okay, is there a second for that motion?
Second.
Is there any objection?
I'm sorry, what was the motion?
All right. To add an amendment to the Governance Committee motion to request that the IED ask the GMs to do this work, this investigation.
Point of clarification, if I may. Excuse me?
Okay. Go ahead.
Motion actually affects four stations, not three, because now that WBAI has, in fact, two staff organizations, there is, in effect, according to the bylaws, none. And so the general manager's information would be the default information there. So the only station not affected by this, and if I understand correctly, is KPFA. Thank you.
Okay. I think that what Carolyn is, the bylaws section, is a bylaws section that gives a requirement of 30 hours of volunteer work within a 3-month period as the criteria for being considered an unpaid staff member. However, there is also a section of the bylaws that says that union organization, staff, unpaid staff organizations or unpaid staff organizations create their own rules and regulations for membership. I think that's what you're referring to, is it not, Carolyn?
Yes, thank you very much. So there's only one station now left with a recognized unpaid staff organization. That's KPFA.
Okay. So this would not necessarily apply to KPFA because the criteria is not decided by the 30-hour in 3-month rule. Bonnie, if you have the bylaws in front of you, can you read them?
I don't have the EPSO bylaws. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Not the EPSO bylaws. I mean the Pacifica Foundation bylaws.
Oh, I got them. Sure. Who's got that?
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
No, this isn't the one.
Point of information.
While she's looking, Madam Chair, point of information, do we have two recognized unpaid staff unions at WBAI at this point?
No, we have none, actually.
We have no
We have no recognized unpaid staff.
Right. Okay.
We have one recognized and one unrecognized.
We have a dispute at WBAI, and we have one recognized staff organization at KPFA.
Madam Chair, I have
could I be recognized, Grace?
Madam Chair,
has the unpaid staff union been de-recognized?
Okay. No, it has not at WBAI. As of when I left there Thursday, this is the first time I'm hearing this.
Fine. Very good. This is Bonnie. Are you ready to read that bylaw
point
section?
Point of information.
I have a
Grace,
if you want to read it.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, Carolyn, can you read it?
Yes, thank you. It's
just allow Carolyn to read it since she has it in front of her,
Article
please.
3, Section B. It says, staff members shall be, one, any non-management full-time or part-time staff, a part-time paid employee of a foundation radio station, or two, any member of a foundation radio station unpaid staff organization or unpaid staff collective bargaining unit, which has been recognized by station management, or if the station has neither such organization or bargaining unit, then any volunteer or unpaid staff member of a foundation radio station who has worked for said radio station at least 30 hours in the preceding 3 months, exclusive of fundraising marathon telephone room volunteer
Madam
time.
Chair, this is out of order.
And then there is more information.
I'm sorry, Leslie, if you want to talk to somebody, can you please remove yourself from the discussion? Are you finished, Carolyn?
Do you want me to read the entire thing?
Just that.
I'm sorry. It says
on stack on the amendment.
All right. For said radio station, at least 30 hours in the preceding 3 months, exclusive of fundraising marathon telephone room volunteer time. Said volunteer work shall be performed under the supervision of the foundation radio station management and shall not include volunteer work on committees of a local station board. Radio station management employees and foundation staff employees who are not employed at a foundation radio station shall not qualify as staff members. However, such employees may qualify as listener sponsor members by contributing the requisite minimum dollar amount as set forth in Section 1A of this article of these bylaws.
Point of information.
Thank you, Carolyn. What is your point of view?
Why would we possibly exclude KPFA when one of the most serious allegations was made by a member?
Point of order.
Excuse me. Can I finish my point?
Thank you. It's not a point of order.
It's a point of information. I'm asking a question.
No, it is not.
I'm asking a question. Why would we exclude KPFA when one of the most serious allegations came from a LSB member at KPFA?
That's not on the table.
Susan and Sean, I am ruling Carolyn's comments and Sean's comments out of order. This is an entirely different issue. Let's go back to the governance committee motion with an amendment. We're back to the amendment by Bonnie. Bonnie's amendment is that the tasks in the governance committee motion that a request be made to the IED to request the general managers to do this investigation.
It's more simply that we just change the first few words of the motion from that the PNB collect information to that the PNB request the IED ask the GMs to collect information.
Okay, that's been moved in second.
And in making my amendment, I was referring to all five stations.
Okay, Susan, we have 20 seconds left on
this
agenda
item. Call the question on the amendment.
Okay, there's no necessity because we're out of time on this agenda item. We'll vote on the amendment first.
I object.
I would like to have the amendment read.
That the Pacifica National Board asks the IED to request the GMs collect information from the stations to determine, and then it's the rest of the
Okay, is there any objection to this amendment? Hearing none, the amendment is accepted. Now we're going to move to a vote on the motion itself as amended.
Can you read the whole thing?
Okay, George, can you read it as amended?
PNB requests that the IED request
of the into the microphone, George.
Bonnie, would you read the first part of that?
Why don't I read the whole thing?
Thank you.
That the PNB requests the IED to request the GMs collect information from the stations to determine if there is a systemic abuse of the bylaws requirement of 30 hours of service. In particular, that information be obtained on each station program collective, each program collective identified and named at each station, how many members are on each collective, what percentage of airtime do these collectives represent, and what percentage of the staff electorate do these collectives represent. Furthermore, if any of these collectives have a sudden spike in membership prior to elections, and if the collectives represent a disproportionate share of the staff electorate.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a roll call vote on this amended.
Out of order.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's we're out of time for all that. Right. Okay, Richard, we're ready for roll call vote on this amended motion from the Governance Committee.
Explain what a yes vote and a no vote is on this one. I just want everybody to be sure.
Yes means that the motion is resolved.
Yes would mean yes and no.
Okay.
No,
in this case, would mean no. Yes.
Okay, Richard. Richard, take the roll call vote.
Can we vote by hand?
Let's do it by roll call vote. It's a main motion. Okay, is there any objection to this amended motion? Okay.
Her name is Sandra.
Sandra objects. Okay.
I've got my reasons, but people keep calling the question before I get to say anything. So.
Okay. All right. There's one objection. If there are no other objections, the motion is accepted by this body. All right.
Okay.
No, it's already amended. So it passes with one objection. All right. Now we're going on to the section having to do with election policies.
Grace, this is Wendy.
Yes.
I'm sorry I wasn't there during this agenda approval, but so is the election committee has been working on this election policy. Our meeting just a few days ago did not reach quorum. Is it this body's intention to just vote on this themselves without the election committee input?
Yes.
I'd like to move on to refer this back to the elections committee.
Second. I'd like to turn this over to Joe and motivate the election policy.
And discussion on
why don't we just abolish the committees?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Grace, if you would.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, read the motion for us.
As the IED, this is a complicated motion. It's rather large. I wanted to do it in an in-person meeting so that we didn't have to do it over the phone because it's so lengthy and it's very important. The election committee has not gotten to it. It was instructed to finish its any recommendations for changes or amendments to this policy with a deadline of this in-person meeting. It failed to do so. Therefore, I think it's necessary to take it up by this body. We need to quickly hire a national election supervisor. That is my job, and I will need to have election policy that the national election supervisor and the local election supervisors will need to follow. In my adjudication at several stations, our elections were improper in that general managers did not comply with the spirit or letter of the bylaws regarding airing carts enough times in the nomination period to engage our broad listenership in the selection process. I think this was a major flaw. It has not been addressed by the election committee. What happened, for instance, at KPFK is that in two elections, hardly any listeners came forward to nominate themselves as candidates, only insiders who knew about the election from word of mouth inside the station were nominated, self-nominated. In the last KPFK local station board election, only one person out of 29 candidates came from an on-air cart. All other 28 candidates were recruited. This is this causes the election to be a waste of time, basically, because we need to engage our broad listenership. That's the way we're going to get the best diversity on our boards and the best representation for our stations. If we do it by on-air courts and we really and also email, website announcements, event announcements, however we can, we will get the greatest diversity. We'll get the greatest age diversity, the greatest geographical diversity, the greatest ethnic diversity, and the greatest special interest diversity we possibly can get. Recruitment by factions, by in-groups, creates an oligarchy, not a democracy. And I am unhappy, personally, with the election committee stressing the latter part of the election process and not the beginning part, which is the most important, which is to engage the broad electorate in the election process. And that's why I wrote this election policy to not only – this is my main concern, but other parts of the elections I've been through three – local station boards elections at KPFK. I'm familiar with the elections at other stations as well. That's why I wrote this election policy. I think it's a good policy. If we wish to, there is contention about the staff, who qualifies to be an unpaid staff member. We might want to divide this policy into parts so that each part can be looked at and accepted or rejected or amended one by one. But I really need this policy in place. I would like it to be in place because before long I'm going to be hiring a national election supervisor, and that person and the local election supervisors need to be given clear policy to follow. Also, the general managers need to prepare. So as soon as this policy is adopted, I can give it to the general managers to start preparing for the election. And having it go to the National Elections Committee, which has already failed in 2 or 3 weeks, to review this and come up with recommendations. The timeline, we have no time left. We have to get this done. Joe, you're the chair.
I'll take a stab. George?
I'd like to move to amend by striking out 2A. This is the requirement that collectives only be given 4 ballots. I want to move to strike out 2A, so that would be an amendment. This is the part that says that collectives will have only 4 ballots, no matter how many members they have.
Second.
I think we need to get – we can go back and reconsider that when we get the information we just voted on getting. So that's my motion. It's been seconded.
Okay, so are there any objections?
Amendment? Yes.
Okay, we'll have discussion then. I'll take a stack. Karen?
Yeah, I'd like to ask if the maker would accept an amendment not to strike it, but to postpone it until consideration of the amendment the motion that we just passed, until we get data.
Can I respond to that, Joe?
Yeah, please, Joe.
It has the same effect, and actually, I can't accept an amendment. The body now has the motion. It's been made and seconded, and so we have to go with what it is. But it has the same effect. If we just take it out now, we can bring it back later.
I'd entertain a motion to call the question unless anybody else has.
Call the question. So moved.
Richard, would you please?
And the vote is for?
On the amendment, correct?
Yes, it's to strike section 2A, I believe, of the
yes.
of the motion as it now stands.
Well, it's a called question.
The question has been called, so Richard will take it.
No.
Nope.
Is there any objection?
I asked if there's any objection, and nobody said anything.
That's correct. That's why I asked, yeah.
Right. Well, I'll ask again. Is there an objection to calling the question? Well, I know that you're on the stack, but if you're go ahead. I sense that there's an objection, so I'll defer. It sounds, Nia, why don't you go ahead and make a comment, then we'll proceed.
Okay. I agree with the motion, surprisingly, George, that we agree on something.
I think to limit to four people. I know there are collectives in New York that have more than four people. And how could we, at this particular juncture, want to limit it to just four ballots when people have been working all along? They're anticipating voting in June, and then we haven't even chosen the election supervisor, and we're going to say in April, oh, you know what? I am so sorry, but you, the fifth person, you won't be able to vote. Where am I living? I you know, this is surreal. This is a, excuse me? You know.
Yeah, we're debating you. We're not voting.
Please, question. Sean, please.
Listen, some people are rather rude, so I would like to ask not to be interrupted, and you keep your comments to yourself. I don't make any side comments to anybody when they're speaking, okay? So I'm not interested in rudeness. So I'm saying, how can
Point
we tell
order.
People? How can we tell
Sean,
how can we tell people now in April that you can't vote? That is so undemocratic, disrespectful, and not
specific. This is not germane.
Sean, you're out of order. Please, let her finish her comments and we can proceed.
I was a professor in another life. That's why I like to lecture.
Thank you. Thank you, Neil.
Tell that. Keep it up. Let's keep going.
Please. And I think Rico did have wanted to add some comments, and then please Rico did.
I just want to be on the stack.
Well, that, if you're on the stack, then you go ahead and speak now.
I'm going to pass then.
Fair enough. So,
vote. It has.
It's now been called, so please just go to roll.
All right, is this for the vote?
Yes.
Ryder amendment to strike 2A?
Yes.
Nia Bidiaco?
Yes.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Kathy Davis? Jamie Ross, Jim Brown,
yes.
AC Bird,
yes.
Lucette King,
yes.
David Beaton, Afia Wangaza,
yes.
Sherry Gindelman, Bonnie Simmons. Andrea Turner, Joe Wenzel, Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Sean O'Brien?
Yes.
Leslie Radford?
Yes.
Rico Ross?
Yes.
George Ryder?
I thought I already voted, but I'd be glad to vote twice, yes.
Sandra Rawline?
Yes.
Wendy Shrell?
Yes.
Susan Young?
Yes, and I'd like to note how much time we've spent on a unanimous vote.
Yeah, it is a unanimous vote.
Right.
Fair enough. Now we'll go back to discussion on the main motion. I'll take a stack for that. Leslie?
I move to strike Part 6. Part 6 reads, disciplinary measures may be invoked by the local or national election supervisor in conjunction with the station management, HR director, and or the executive director. They may also be initiated by any GM or the ED.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Okay, I'll take a stack on that discussion. Carolyn? Carolyn and Bonnie. George, did you leave on the stack? You may go ahead and yes.
Yeah, we have a fairly clear chain of command here in Pacifica, and this disrupts this during the time of elections. I have no problem with the existing chain of command. I do have a problem with inserting consultants into the process of disciplining our management. It has also been my experience that local election supervisors come in a couple of packages, good and bad. I can certainly, and I'm not going to name any names, but I can certainly think of people in situations in the local election supervisors that, frankly, I don't think are in any position to be disciplining or rewarding our management. I don't want to take that out of the hands of the paid people that we have on this body who determine rewards and punishment for our staff.
Thank you. Carolyn?
Yeah, I agree with some of Leslie's points. I do think we need to modify this as to in consultation with. But in general, the major problems that we've had with elections over the years, as anyone who's been involved with them from the beginning knows, is that there are no teeth to many of these rules and regulations and guidelines. Nobody pays any attention. The managers thumb their nose. They let people go on the air and make statements about staff members and about listener candidates, and nobody pays any attention. It's sometimes very chaotic. So I would very much like to see this clause left as it is and leave it to the IED and the national supervisor to make sure that fair campaign regulations are enforced. Otherwise, we have too many cowboys out there with putting their personal objections out over the air and any other place. It is chaotic. So I think it would be very nice to have some fair campaign regulations enforced and enforceable. It doesn't do any good to have the regulation on paper.
I'd like to be on the stack.
Barney?
May I be on the stack?
Six, is that correct? Then I will agree with what Leslie presented when she motivated her motion to strike, and I will vote to strike this because I am very puzzled and troubled by the notion that the local election supervisor, or national election supervisor for that matter, would be responsible for invoking discipline upon our managers.
Kathy?
Yes, I just wanted to speak to the fact that by virtue of the staff being part of the elections, the management is very much invested, I have found, in the outcome of the elections. And I've seen participation or enforcement of participation vary depending on, in a way that would serve to control the outcome. And I've also seen election supervisors try to rule things in and out of order and being superseded by various management positions in the network who also had a buy-in into the outcome. And I really believe that the election supervisor, both locally and nationally, we have to encourage them to be completely independent of the buy-ins of the staff, whether it's management or paid or unpaid staff. We need somebody that's not buying into the election, that can look at things from the perspective of regulations that we set forth and make sure that they're done, so that if a station manager or a program director or somebody in the network decides not to run candidate carts, that there's a consequence for that.
Sean.
A national election supervisor without authority is no supervisor. The word supervisor implies that you have the authority to handle the situation in this sense in the election. So to strike this is to undermine a good national supervisor. And I'll tell you, we've done enough in our past with elections to do exactly that. And I would like to see it stopped, and I want to give them full authority to supervise fair and accurate elections, which are sorely needed in Pacifica. Thank you.
George.
Yeah, I don't get that this, as it stands, that it gives the National Election Supervisor direct authority to discipline anybody. It says in conjunction with the station management, HR director, and or the executive director. So what I read that to mean is you either have to get all three on board if you're the National Election Supervisor, or at least the executive director, to approve what you want to do. So there isn't any sort of going into the chain of command by the NES. He has to work in conjunction with those other people. So it seems to me that it's not, I would oppose the amendment. It's not doing what it was. It doesn't seem to me that it undermines our organizational structure.